This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an amazing Monday. Remember, if you've missed any part of it, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. We're doing emails. We'll make fun of AOC. Trump made fun of Robert Mueller after he died. All that and so much more in the final hour of the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, Jewish producer Chris was asking me during the break, hey, what's the problem with this, you know, Trump involvement thing? Why did he get involved? Is this Jared Kushner? Is it, if he needs an off ramp, why did he ever get involved at all? Well, I don't want to talk about the why because I don't know. And everybody has a million theories on it, but we're not in the room. And I also don't want to assign bad motives to Trump or someone around Trump. I know that when Trump was making the call on Iran, I know there were many different voices in the room. Some saying, let's go. This is our chance. Some saying, let's not. This is a mistake. I also know this. Trump asked serious, detailed questions of the military and basically asked, what can you do in a short time frame? Can we do this? What can we do? Can we get in and get out? I'll put it to you that way. That's essentially what he asked. Do you think you can? I also know this. The military was more hesitant with Iran than it was with Venezuela. They explained to Trump, and Trump understood, Iran is not Venezuela. Iran is not going to be 24 hours and the Delta Force guys come home and have beers. It's not what it looks like at all for a variety of different reasons. It's not that. War, as I've told you 100 times, and I'll tell you 100 more, this has always been this way. It is easy to get one started, remarkably easy. Your wife, your husband. If I told you to start a fight with him right now, could you? I promise you right now, I could drive home tonight and say something to Ob, wouldn't even be that hard, that would start a fight. And she doesn't even like to fight. But I know all the buttons. We've been married 19 years. I could walk in the door and I could have a fight on in 30 seconds. It's easy to start one. Now, could I have that fight wrapped up in an hour? We're all happy, sitting on the couch, relaxing together. That gets more difficult. It's easy to start a war. It's more difficult to stop one. That's the situation. All right, let's do these emails like I promised. Dear Ice Cream Bar Brawler, a while back I heard your rant about Rosa Parks and how the common tale is all crap. I was completely blown away. Similarly, I heard Rachel Wilson on Rogan's podcast saying that women's suffrage was also all crap. According to her, like all communist movements, it was like an 80-20 issue, meaning that most women of that time thought they had it pretty good. They weren't really interested in politics and thought they already had plenty of rights and protections, but that commie hag Susan B. Anthony got it pushed through anyway. It's my whole life a lie, says his name is Quinn. Quinn, it's not that your whole life is a lie. It's that your whole life you've been educated by America's education system. And in America's education system, you have to fully grasp the degree to which communists have captured it. Now, if communists are writing your textbooks and communists are doing the teaching and the people training the teachers are themselves communists, how accurate do you think the history you learned actually is. And by the way, back to the women's suffrage movement, this is something I had to explain to the women in my life, and they were all completely blown away too, because even so many of the hardcore conservative righty women are educated by communists, and they think to themselves, women didn't have any rights, women were beaten, women were oppressed. They think that older America, pre-19th Amendment America, was essentially what some sort of modern Islamic country is, where women couldn't do this and women couldn't do that. Most women in early America knew how blessed they were to not be in some other dump. And because of the values of early America, and there are always a million exceptions, don't get me wrong, because of the values of early America, women were cared for. You ever seen those old videos or read an old story about a man taking off his coat and laying it in a puddle so a woman didn't have to walk across in the water? Oh no, as a young, single, idiot, 20-year-old woman, you didn't have a vote in the presidential election. There's no question. But you were cared for, as you should be, by the men in your society, and you knew it. And then, Ab was blown away when I told her this. Do you know how much the founding fathers wrote? It's not like it was a secret. Wrote about how much they treasured their wives and the advice of their wives. In fact, I would encourage you, maybe you're not a reader, and that's totally fine if you're not a reader. I think this is a pretty appropriate show for kids. Please check it out yourself if not. But I would encourage you. HBO did a series years ago called John Adams. Surprise, surprise. It's about John Adams, but the founders and all kinds of things about the founding were in it. John Adams is the name of the series. I want you to go watch that series. And you'll get a million wonderful things from that series. But John and his wife Abigail were tight. And the series makes it well known. They were tight, and he leaned on her. That's how this country was. And then, of course, a small group of nasty hag, busybody women got involved and started making a big old stink about this and big old stink about that, and a bunch of effeminate dork men ran to Congress, and now we have 20-year-olds on Adderall deciding elections in the United States of America. Friggin' disaster. Jesse. Oh, this is about Iran. Okay. I'll let her have it out here. With the mines in the water we cannot neutralize, as well as missiles being shot up from Iran we cannot locate their origins, maybe it's time to give up and let Israel do the rest. All right. She didn't say I could use her name, and I will not. Well, Israel cannot do the rest. They cannot. Israel has a highly technical, highly proficient military and intelligence service. And I mean, their tip of the spear is as sharp as anybody's in the world. Israel has 8 million people. Israel doesn't have the numbers. Israel cannot do what people want done. I've heard this before. We need to let the Israelis handle everything from here. You have two options if you're the United States of America. At some point, you walk away after you've accomplished some of your goals, whatever those things Trump decides they are. At some point, you walk away, and then Israel has to walk away. Or you go all in, and you have yourself an Iwo Jima on Kargo.
God bless the fallen.
But it's a difference when we talk about troops on the ground.
I trust the Marines, not that guy. Mm-hmm. I trust DOD. We got two Marine expeditionary units sailing to this island. We did Iwo Jima. We can do this. The Marines, my money's always on the Marines.
At some point, we are either going to have to go all in and do Iraq again, or we are going to have to talk to Israel and say, I'm sorry, we've got to leave. And neither of those are easy conversations to have. But when you kick something like this off, when you send a fleet over there and you start bombing the Iranians to smithereens, this is what you have. And you know how the people have not risen up yet. And there's a lot of talk about this of, well, they've been told not to, or, okay, well, they've been told not quite yet, or then you'll see a statement in the press of, I mean, it'd be nice if the people rose up, but there has not been some huge Iranian uprising. That evil, freaking, murderous regime has checkpoints up in the road. They're murdering anybody who goes out. Plus, they just butchered, we'll never know the number. Iran lies about everything. They just butchered 30, 40,000 of them in the streets when they rose up before. Well, if there's no uprising, there's no regime change. And at some point, you're stuck with the one you got. It's just an ugly situation. All right, we shall continue. Before we continue, we have to talk about amputee murder. And we have to talk about chalk. What, Chris? We have to talk about natural herbal supplements from chalk, which are my favorite things in the entire world. They're my favorite things in the world because I feel good all the time. And, you know, I have my physical tomorrow. I didn't tell you about this yet. I have a physical tomorrow morning. Maybe I'll go more into that in a moment. I have my physical tomorrow morning, and I don't have to stress my testosterone levels. That's a nice place to be. I mean, I don't even have to ask him to test it, although I will. I've been on a male vitality stack from chalk for 4 years. I'm doing just fine. How are you doing? How's your energy? How's your mood? You all smiles when you get off work? Are you fired up and ready to go? Go get a chalk subscription and make your life better. CHOQ. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. Get a subscription so you save a bunch of money, like Chris would. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a magnificent, magnificent Monday. So, I have a physical tomorrow morning. And from what I get, this doctor, he's not just doing the normal, you know, blood test thing. Chris, have you heard of this VO2 max thing or something like that? I'm not even totally clear what it is, but I know they told me that they're going to attach some kind of breathing thing to my face and make me get on an exercise bike. And that always hurts my butt. I don't like the exercise bike. It hurts your butt. It does. Maybe I should bring a pad in. Anyway, that's another story. I'm nervous. And not about the tests or anything. I don't care about that. I'm worried about what Ob is going to do if that blood work doesn't come back the way it should. What, Chris? What? We're going to doctor it, you said. I would agree that we're going to doctor it, except when I was in there signing up for the physical, she was with me because she was signing up for her physical. And she was right there. And this idiot behind the counter asked if I wanted electronic documents, basically electronic information. And I had that same thought you just did, Chris, that we would bring it in and we'll move some numbers around. And immediately she hears it like a hawk. She says, yes, we do. So she's going to be able to access those numbers. And I've been racking my brains today for a way. The physical's, what time is it? It's like 12 hours from now. I have 12 hours to get my blood work right. And I don't know what to do. What, Chris? Have a buddy call in and pretend to be the doctor. Buddy, Ob is never going to fall for that. In fact, Ob is probably going to be logged into their website and just hit refresh all day long until the numbers come in. I had to fill out one of the pre-patient questionnaire things, and they had a question on there of how would you describe your diet? And it was all like vegan or keto or something like that. And I made the mistake of turning to Ob and I said, how would you describe my diet? And she said, highly processed is what she said. She's already on edge, but she's already at a 7. This thing could take her up to a 10. And who knows where we go from there? I don't know. I'm not eating kale the rest of my life. That's what I'm saying. This guy didn't either. Amputee cornhole player is accused of murder. Now, apparently this guy is a quadruple amputee. But he also has been accused of firing a gun from a car he was driving. Now, I'm not going to go into any details of this tragic, tragic story. But what I am going to say is, I don't want to victim blame. I don't want to be the guy who blames the person who was the victim of a crime. I never want to be that guy. I try to never be that guy. But if you're murdered by a quadruple amputee, hold on, Chris, let me finish. It's fine. If you are murdered by a quadruple amputee, that's on you. If you were unable to escape being murdered by a quadruple amputee, especially by a gun, it'd be one thing if the guy ran you over or something. Oh, no, I can't reach the brakes. That would be understandable, right? And he's trying to reach the brakes, but it's just doing the little flipper thing, and he's not reaching the... Chris, it's fine. I would understand that. Okay, the guy couldn't reach the brakes. No big deal. He tried to reach them. He was stumped. I got it. If you were shot dead by a quadruple amputee, I mean, I train with my weapon. I understand some basics on tactics. I can generally hit what I aim at. I'm not BK or one of these guys, but I can function. And I'll tell you this, and you've never heard me come on here and tell you that I'm this super stud, but I will tell you, I feel like I could beat a quadruple amputee in a gunfight every day of the week. I like my odds 100% of the time if I am in a gunfight against a quadruple amputee. And so what I'm asking of you is this, and I'm asking this of you. If I meet an untimely end one day, not the standard heart attack we all know I'm going to die from in 20 years, but an untimely end, and it's a quadruple amputee, and he guns me down, would you please lie about that? Chris, Corey, can I have your commitment on this? Can you please, see, Chris, thank you. You're right, Chris. It was a car wreck. All right? It was a car wreck. We skidded out of control. Don't ever, ever let my reputation be that I met my end by losing a gunfight to a quadruple amputee. Now, that's bad. You know what else is bad? This is the governor of Illinois.
What does a Project 2029 agenda look like for you?
I don't think you can speak of it in shorthand, but I'll just say a couple of things that I think are absolutely necessary. One is we've got to restore the rule of law, and that means holding people accountable who've broken the law. I'm talking about in this administration, when we get a new one, the people in this administration who've broken the law and federal agents who've broken the law need to be held accountable.
And that means criminally prosecuted.
Criminally prosecuted, civilly prosecuted, you know, whatever it is that we can do.
Remember, the Democrats are going to have us all arrested if they ever take power again. Even if they don't actually want to, their base will simply demand it. Remember that. Also, remember, our leaders are in fact a reflection of us, and we're going to go to Albany, New York to talk about that. Next.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
About something about a comedic tone.
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. And I guess it's fantastic unless you live in Albany, New York. Because the truth is, as we've talked about so many times before, in a republic like ours, a constitutional republic, our political leaders are most of the time a pretty accurate reflection of who we are. And we love that when that reflection is handsome, like me. What we don't like is when that reflection looks like Rashida Tlaib. That's when we don't like it. I'm going to play you the mayor of Albany, New York. This is what happens when you fill up a society with morons, and those morons vote for other morons. She was asked a question about the city's debt situation. This is the mayor of Albany.
That's a great question, and that's why we're pulling together that team, that interdepartmental team that will really go under the hood, open up the cabinets, really get into the weeds on our budget, the process, some of our systems. It is government. There's a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of systems, and sometimes those systems do not work. And so you have to get under the hood to first understand what's not working. And so that team in short order will start the process of examining all of those things to then in turn provide me with recommendations on how we improve those systems to prevent something like this from happening moving forward.
You know what that reminded me of? You know how I told you that Av and me, we've always been pretty careful with money. We always set, if I have a job, we've always set money aside our entire lives. Always saved. We don't have a second house. We don't have boats and jet skis and stuff. We just don't do that kind of stuff. We just save money. Save money and save money and save money. And as people who save money, we have a budget. It's not some fancy software package. It's just an Excel spreadsheet. We've always had it. It's an Excel spreadsheet where you go over, all right, we have this much money for Red Lobster, and we have that much money, but we spend this on car insurance, same as you do. It's just a simple Excel spreadsheet. I think we pulled it off the internet for free years ago. Excel spreadsheet works just fine. Well, I was selling RVs, and we had to leave town for an RV show. When I say we, I mean the RV dealership. I wasn't coming along. You had to go out of town because there was this big multi-day RV show where you go try to sell a bunch of RVs, as many as you could possibly sell. And while I was there, away from home, I might point out, I did a lot of eating. Eating is my thing, definitely when I leave town. So if I wanted to grab a quick hot dog at the place at the RV shop, I got one. Breakfast tacos on the way to the RV place, I got one. Hey, fellas, should we go out and get some Mexican food after today? It's been a long day. Sure, sounds good. I did that, I think that was for about 5 days. Fast forward to a couple weeks. I think it was a couple weeks later. Our numbers weren't adding up for what our budget should be. Wait a minute. How did we blow out the budget? And as soon as Ob brought up the question, how did we blow out the budget? I will admit to you, and I'm ashamed of this now, that I knew immediately what the problem was going to be. Immediately. Because when the budget was blown out, it could be anything, right? Did the insurance go up? Is this on auto pay and we're getting charged more for your cell phone? But I knew immediately what the problem was. And it was over. It was over by something like $200 or $300. So it was over. But I had hoped in that moment, in vain, I hoped in that moment that we could just kind of let it go. And I even tried to do that thing of, hey, it's just one fluke. It's 1 month. Who knows what it is? And I tried this one. Oh, you'll love this one, Chris. I tried to sell the, why don't we see if it happens again next month? And if it doesn't, we're good to go. What, Chris? What? Chris said, isn't she an accountant by trade? It's actually worse than that. Not only does she have an accountant degree, she's an auditor by trade. Auditing is actually what she does. So back to the story. I tell her, you know, what a fluke. No big deal. Hey, not the end of the world. I understand. It's not ideal. Let's give it another month and see if the numbers don't get back to normal. Well, she's taking this deadly serious. She says, no, it is a big deal. What if we're signed up for something we don't know? What if there's been fraud? What if there's been, you know what? I'm going to dig into this while you're at work today. And she did. And I walk in the door that night, and she knows she's not going to yell at me when I first get home. That just doesn't land that well. So she's holding the paper in her hand. She's holding the bank statement in her hand. And it's a half anger, half smirk look on her face. And I knew right what she was holding to. I said, what's that, princess? I always say princess generally when she's upset about something. She said, I think you know exactly what it is. Would you mind telling me? And I forget if it was $200 or $300. Would you mind telling me how you blew out the food budget by $300 last month? And honestly, I swear it was almost verbatim. This is what I did.
That's a great question. And that's why we're pulling together that team, that interdepartmental team that will really go under the hood, open up the cabinets, really get into the weeds on our budget, the process, some of our systems. It is government. There's a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of systems, and sometimes those systems do not work. And so you have to get under the hood to first understand what's not working. And so that team in short order will start the process of examining all of those things to then in turn provide me with recommendations on how we improve those systems to prevent something like this from happening moving forward.
Almost verbatim what I told her. Didn't land that well, but it's almost verbatim. Look, we got to get under the hood. All right, we'll get under the hood and we'll figure that out. Dear Crayon Eater, when you talk about your dad, it reminds me of my own dad to a T. They were born the same year, too, in 1954. I guess it's just that generation. I don't know if you ever watched the show That 70s Show, but my friends often referred to my dad as the dad from the show, Red Foreman. Has anyone ever told you that? The reason I read this email is my friends my entire life called my dad Red Foreman. My entire life. If you ever want to meet my father, he was in That 70s Show. It was Red Foreman, the one who was just yelling at his son the whole time. Jesse, consider this a visit from your local grammar Nazi. As a former resident of the Pacific Northwest, I have it on good authority that you caused a good portion of the U.S. population's skin to crawl. It was an honest mistake, but one I feel you should learn from, she says. She must be an auditor too, Chris. Perhaps the rest of the country could learn from your mistake too. The subject is Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Think Coeur d'Alene. Your recent butchering of it, Coeur d'Alene, is only bested by a former pastor of mine who regularly referred to it as Queer d'Alene. It's a French name, and those French sure are special. It's amazing that the grammar Nazis are still holding on to this show. Queer d'Alene is actually, you know what? We're going with that from now on, Chris. We're going with that. Well, why not? I mean, he likes
God
it.
God bless the fallen.
But it's a difference.
What, Chris? Anyway, one more segment. Hang on.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. AOC spends nearly $19,000 in campaign cash on a psychiatrist known for ketamine. Ketamine or ketamine therapy? Chris, is it, what is it? Ketamine? Ketamine? I thought so. What's that do, Chris? You know anything about it? It's a drug, right? Is it a horse tranquilizer? I bet that's exhausting. What, Chris? That's funny. That's one. Two, remember, the reason these people run for office is they want access to the things rich people have without having to actually accomplish anything. So you just raise a boatload of money for your campaign and blow $19,000 on it for a shrink. And I don't know why these rich women spend this kind of money on shrinks anyway. You can go find anybody to tell you all your problems are someone else's fault. And honestly, I'll do that for free. I take that back, not for free. Chris would kill me. $50. If you email me in, $50. Just send $50. No, I'm kidding. Don't send me your $50. But you email me and you tell me about your problems, I swear on my life, I'll blame everyone else but you. It's your sister's fault. It's your mom. It's your husband. It's your whatever. And then you don't even have to pay. God knows what these shrinks cost people every single hour. Hey, Chef Jesse, good call on the Italian sausage marinara and provolone sandwich. The wife and I enjoyed it. What have you got for us this week? All right, you want a Jesse Kelly white trash special that I completely have stolen from my Mexican buddy, Luis. So, as you know, Luis is Mexican. His family's Mexican. They're Americans, don't get me wrong, but I like to refer to him as Mexican because it's offensive. Well, they're always, as Mexicans do, they're always eating different forms of meat and onions and things like that. So there's always, you know, some chicken fajita in the fridge, and there's a little beef this and some carne asada, and there's always this kind of crap. Well, you know what they do? It's freaking brilliant. On the weekend, sometimes Friday, sometimes Saturday, sometimes Sunday, they just go grab all the leftovers in the kitchen, in the fridge, frying pan, vat of butter, drop some butter in that frying pan, and then, don't overthink it, just start chucking all that crap in one frying pan. Don't stress about this mixing with this. Grab it all and start dumping it in this frying pan. Let it all sizzle up together. Grab some fresh tortillas. What, Chris? Grab a big old handful of cheese when you think it's all mixed up and hot and buttery. Boop! Drop that handful of cheese on there and then just start scooping out this big goulash of crap and dumping it in a tortilla. I'm telling you right now, that meal, I've had it. That meal is better than any of the original meals they had. What, Chris? What? How do I feel about my physical? You know what? That wasn't necessary, Chris. You don't have to take these wonderful moments and ruin them. And I'm nervous. I haven't been that good. I've made some... What? What? I can't prep the ground with Ob now, man. She already knows the physical's coming tomorrow. She's already been almost smirking. You can tell. No, you know what I mean? She feels like she's got a win coming. And she even said something this morning that I found a little bit, I mean, it's not like I don't run my household, but I got to be honest, I found it a little bit intimidating. She said, "You're mine when those results come back." What do you think she meant by that? I don't think it meant anything good. I'm going to have to eat here at the studio. Chris, we're going to have to start working late. That's what we'll do. Hey, the suits. There's nothing I can do, baby. The suits kept us late. I ate that salad you gave me. I swear I did. I swear I did, for sure. Whether she's going to buy that, I'm not entirely sure. Trump blasts Robert Mueller after the news of the ex-FBI director and Russia special counsel's death. Trump came out after Mueller died and said, "Robert Mueller just died. Good. I'm glad he's dead. He can no longer hurt innocent people." I'm sorry. I know a lot of people were offended. I know a lot of people didn't care. I just find Trump to be hilarious sometimes because he is who he is. Trump has always been that guy. He's never going to change. Somehow people think they're going to express how horrified they are every time Trump comes out and says or does something like this. That is who Donald Trump is. That's what you're going to get. You've always known what you're going to get. I can't help it. Also, you always know preborn's going to save the lives of babies. As we continue to fight the demons in this society who want to kill them, preborn is out there giving free ultrasounds, saving them. You and preborn last year saved thousands of lives. Did you know that? Thousands of people walk the planet now because of you. Maybe you thought that $28 you gave to preborn, maybe you gave it and never thought about it again. Someone else gets to live an entire life now because of you. Isn't that powerful? $28 buys a free ultrasound for a woman who's about to abort her baby. Let that young mother hear the heartbeat and choose life instead. That baby is about to die. Preborn has a clinic in that neighborhood. They can save the baby and save the mother a lifetime of guilt and anguish and everything else. But $28 is what that ultrasound costs, all right? Preborn.com/Jesse is where you go. Preborn.com/Jesse. The mighty Jesse. I am slash was a Trump supporter. Uh-oh. But watching my portfolio lose a ton, paying $4 a gallon for gas, and watching a new war kick off makes me wonder if Harris was elected president. We can't get a 90% issue passed due to his support for losers in Congress, and no one is going to prison for their crimes. Trump's been a disaster, and I hate to say it, but I'll vote local, but federal level makes no difference. I know he has people who listen to you. I'm done. I'm watching my money just disappear. They say it will come back, maybe over the last 10 years. Sorry, but he lost me. And he says, absolutely say his name, and his name is Steve. Well, Steve, I'm not here to campaign for anyone, but you keep your chin up, my brother, all right? You keep your chin up. We'll get through this like we get through everything else.
And now...
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Connecticut poised to create a surveillance state for homeschool families. Reminder that your blue communist state is evil. They believe homeschooling, Christians, white people, they believe these things are all evil. And you will be treated like an enemy by the state if you continue to stay there, which is a shame because Connecticut is so beautiful. Trump ties a deal reopening DHS to the passage of Save America Act and implores Republicans to kill the filibuster and stay in D.C. for Easter. These are going to be some fascinating and possibly horrifying days coming up as we have Easter coming. We still have basically no TSA, airports shutting down, Save Act on the line, Iran going on. Look, say whatever you want, but we live in interesting times, do we not? And we will be back to talk about those times again tomorrow. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.